There is concern being raised about the amount of money being collected by Garda speeding vans across the country. Figures delivered to the Ireland South MEP, Cynthia Voracou, has shown that Garda speed vans collect over €32 million nationally and did so over 30 months. However, in Kerry, speed vans only collected €482,000 in the same period. And Cynthia Voracou is calling for a get tough approach to those who are caught doing excessive speeds on our rural road. And the MEP is with me on the line. Good morning to you, Cynthia.
Jerry, more quite Armadin. Great to be with you and the listeners.
These figures kind of are eye-opening. One instance, are you suggesting that huge money's been collected, or money's been collected, but very little of it in this county? And there's been, I understand, a fraction of what's collected elsewhere, shall we say, than in Kerry. What do you put this down to?
Yes, there's a huge difference, a large difference between counties with the figures that I retrieved under the Freedom of Information Act. And what I'm saying right now is let's get tough on speeding, because the Garda speed vans, which are operated by a third party private company on behalf of the department and the Garda Síochána, we paid them over the last 2.5 years, the period for which I received figures, €44 million. The amount of revenue generated from speeding fines for the same said period, Jerry, was less than that, far less. It was €32.5 million. So the Garda speed vans are not making a profit. They're operating at a loss. I hasten to add that I say loss in the pure monetary sense, because obviously these speed vans are saving lives, no doubt about that. But my question is it good value for money? And I'm questioning why there is a large difference, as you've been pointing out there, between different counties in the relevant amount of revenue that has been raised from speeding fines over the same said period of 2.5 years that I got the figures for. For example, if you want to compare the likes of Tipperary and Donegal, which are rural large counties, speed vans in Tipperary made over €3.3 million over a 2.5 year period, but Donegal made €1 million. Why is that? We have to ask, does it mean that there are less speed vans in Donegal? Does it mean that Gardaí and Tipperary are more proactive and the services rolled out more efficiently? So really, I'm looking for clarity around these questions, particularly, Jerry, in light of the findings of the Crowe report, which found, that was last month, you probably discussed it on your programme,
yes,
it found that the vast majority of Gardaí are deeply committed to their duty to detect and apprehend speeders, bring them before the court, make sure that they receive the appropriate penalties. But unfortunately, the Crowe report also found out that there was poor productivity on the part of some Gardaí in their road policing duties. And of course, we know that the road policing duties were ramped up by the former commissioner last year, in that every Garda would have to carry out road policing duties on their beat. But unfortunately, what the Crowe report detected, Jerry, was that a minority or some Gardaí in the districts that they studied were unproductive, demotivated, unconcerned with doing an effective professional job, and it was a bare minimum approach. That's not good enough. It's not good enough to the 174 grieving families of last year as a result of that amount of fatalities on our roads, and indeed the people who were maimed and affected by road traffic accidents.
Okay, so is it your feeling then that despite, let's say, population differences that may exist in some counties, that the speed van isn't being deployed as liberally in places like Kerry and Donegal as it is elsewhere, and therefore doing enough to tackle speeding and bad behaviour and saving lives as it is in other counties?
Yes, I'd like to see transparency in relation to the operation of these speed vans. And I'd like to call upon the operators to tell us why are they positioned, it seems to the public, the people who write to me, my constituents, that they're positioned very, very regularly and very visibly on motorways. We know that motorways are statistically safer, Jerry. So there should be less concentration of speed vans there by comparison with our rural roads all around Kerry, all around my constituency, and accident black spots in particular. And I also think that the get tough approach should also encompass the judicial system. And I think we need to look at getting back to the graduated speeding penalties. We need to look at a system that prioritises road policing in terms of a graduated speeding penalties. So to get to 12 points, you have to have incurred 4 speeding penalties, but because you get 3 points for each one of them. That gets you to 12, but that's too late, I suggest. passed midway along that scale, there should be a suspension of licence for a short-term period, and for the offender to be required and directed by the district court judge to engage in a driver training course, an enhanced driver training course rolled out by the Road Safety Authority for their re-education, because we know there's an awful lot of repeat speeders, repeat offenders out there.
Okay, and with that in mind, do you think you will get that either from An Garda Síochána, who are paying, as you mentioned, 44 million euro in that period to the speed van operators, or the operator themselves, to see and show how many vans, how many times a day, where they're being deployed? In which counties?
Absolutely. I think every taxpayer out there listening to your show today wants value for money. And what I'm saying is, it seems to me, based on the figures I retrieved, that there isn't value for money being given here to the taxpayer. And the authorities are duty-bound to tell us, are they going to be opaque, transparent, tell us how the operation is operated and how it's good value for money? And also, what I believe strongly, Gerry, is that local authorities, local Garda Síochána districts and local director of services in the county council should be brought into the operation of the speeding measures in the county in question, because they are tasked with, they have the knowledge and they know the situation of their own roads.
And that goes to, I suppose, the issue with the old joint policing committees. And it's been a slow start to the new arrangements there and involvement with councillors communicating with An Garda Síochána. Is that something that we need to see back up and running and more regularly, more communication between council members and the Gardaí?
Yes, Gerry, I have seen, and I've never been a councillor, but I talk to councillors within Fianna Fáil and other councillors that I meet, and their powers and what they can do has been so diluted that it's almost reduced to very little. And that frustrates councillors. They want to do more because, do you know what? They are the eyes and ears and actors of the voters on the ground. And they are dealing with the families who are completely bereft of loved ones or who are affected by the speeding offenders. And they know the local black spots, and they are the best placed people to engage with the roads authorities, the national roads authorities and the policing authorities in relation to this, to have some input, some say, because they are a major stakeholder.
Okay, just finally, on a separate issue for your party, your MEP colleague Billy Keller is currently on the phones battling to try and get the nomination of your party. Some criticism of the process within Fianna Fáil, but the process is continuing and the nomination process will be closing and you will have a candidate in. What's your view on, number one, how the presidency nomination has been handled, and number two, who are you giving your support to?
Well, first of all, I want to wish Billy the very best of luck. He's a dear colleague, a great colleague out here, and always been supportive of me. And indeed, during the election, was very supportive. And of course, we were very successful to get the second seat for Fianna Fáil against the odds. And indeed, Billy's, I suppose, input into that was quite pivotal. So also was my team and so forth. But the way I look on this election, Gerry, is that this is an election like no other elections. It's for the highest office in the land. Now, Fianna Fáil like winning elections. I'm a case in hand, I suppose. I'm an example of that. And when they chose me, they looked outside of the party. So you asked me a question about the process. First and foremost, I've no difficulty with the process. I've no difficulty with looking outside of the party and inside the party. That is a natural thing for a broad party like Fianna Fáil to do. They also ran this process or deployed this process, the party, some years ago, and it worked. And we saw the election of a president that was from outside of the party, if you like. So I'm very, very supportive of the process. I'm very supportive of the other candidate at the moment. We don't know yet, but nominations have not yet closed. But there is a candidate outside of the party, Jim Gavin. I want to wish him the very best of luck as well. I haven't worked with Jim, but I do know all about him. I have read all about him, and I'll be speaking to him very shortly. Unfortunately, my timetable didn't suit to meet up with him. But what I think is, I'd like the due process to unfold and I'd like to see nominations closed. I'm not holding out a candle for one or the other, because there could be another candidate out there that we don't know about. And I'm going to make my decision over the weekend once nominations close and once I get a good opportunity to hear from everybody.
Okay. All right, Cynthia, we'll leave it there. Thanks very much for talking to us in the programme. That's Cynthia Ní Mhoireachtaí there with us on the line.